Why don't we do it in the road? Why don't we do it in the road? Why don't we do it in the road?
In the independent podcast.
Well, I like the ancient
why
term.
Why don't we do it?
The audio would be fine anywhere. Are you allowed to get into these?
It looks like there's a bunch of sort of empty conference rooms. I'm sure they haven't closed everything down.
Oh, no. You could easily do that.
Yeah, we could probably sneak in.
All right, now, if we're going to light up and have a buzz, don't talk me out of it, because otherwise I'll say, oh, no, not now, maybe later. And then I'll forget it.
How about we just make it happen?
I only have... No, this is if you guys are... What's that, a little bit of cologne?
Yeah, just in case.
Just in case.
Jeez, you come prepared.
Yeah.
I do, but not like that.
This guy spritz on my cologne and picks up chicks on the subway with it, apparently.
It's happened twice. He really hates me for it.
Yeah. And then he doesn't, like, call them back. I'm like, you gotta at least follow through if you're gonna use my cologne. Come on.
But it's not even, like, a hitting on. They'll go to me and they'll be like, that's great cologne you're wearing. What's that? It's a conversation started twice now. Love it.
Nice.
So what is this? Are you going to... do you have a pre-rolled? Or
I don't. Do you have tapes?
Do you have one?
I have a pre-rolled.
Oh, look at that.
Every fucking time you pull this, you know?
No, I made him roll like at the Imperial last night.
Did you?
Yeah. Actually, they told us where the secret place to go stand is. Because you're not supposed to be, like, out on...
I used to do that
in the smoking area.
Excuse me?
The big guys.
Now, I don't know what I got left in here. That looks like it's, see, that's a starter. I only need a hit from that. A
pack of smokes from the one from last
time. I have that.
Well, I'm telling you, I'll pass this to you. I have one hit and I'm done. But I better have something left over for later. Oh, yeah.
Is that a kazoo?
Nope. Some overly excited team. Well, you know what? I really am glad that I attended those two talks. They were both informative. Well done.
It took 3 years, but you finally attended the podcast.
Seems so nervous, but she did a good job.
Yeah. I'm surprised that she's so nervous given her job. You would think that she'd be used to talking in front of people.
Maybe in a different form. It's a lot different when you have them staring at you in person.
Doug?
Communicate with fucking...
And not your boobies?
Communicate with thousands of people online. It's an entirely different thing. You can get a room filled with even 15 spectators.
I'm done.
Oh, already?
Yeah.
Damn it.
You want to finish that or put that out?
Good.
It's up to you.
No.
I'm good, thanks.
Just try it.
Nice flavor.
Yeah. Even taste-wise.
Look at us. I'm not proud.
I'm not ashamed.
Not the gap is right.
That's the gap between.
He's in the gap between. Not proud, but not ashamed.
You guys should start off an episode with that. You know, we were just sitting here and blazing. I mean, you talk about it pretty openly during, in the podcast, right?
Oh, yeah.
That's what we should say, you know. We're sitting here in a rather public setting, and we're lighting up. And...
Well, it is recording now, but I don't want to pick this up.
It's been recording the whole time, yeah.
Brent said to himself, hey, you know what, I'm not proud.
Brent just set his pants on fire.
Yep, I'm not proud of that either.
Yeah, that's a good gappage. I'm not proud, I'm not ashamed. We got our gappage right there. There's our theme for the day, the topic. That's the way the gappage is. The gappage is actually quite a good show. Don't know if you listen to it and so on. But it's, we can say that I think we can say that. What? I think we can say it. The Gappage is a good show.
Yeah.
We have to say that.
Oh, no, yeah. We have to say that.
If for nobody else other than those BFF fuckers.
Yeah. I still haven't listened to the last BFF. You've never listened to that show? No, I haven't listened to the last one.
BFF. They haven't put one out for a month or so. Well, that's, you know, that's, yeah, actually anywhere. I'm good anywhere.
I'm comfy at this point. Why, are you cold?
He was being considerate. He thought you were. He was being very considerate.
I'm never considerate.
What I wouldn't mind is a little cushion for my ass for the concrete, a little inflatable cushion. I need to sit for a couple of minutes.
Something so rough.
You can scout. You could scout and come back. You know, scout.
Go run that recon, Colin.
Yeah. So I think if this is Gappage, we might have to do some editing. Otherwise, we got a few gaps in there between our coherent thoughts. Anything else we should say? If this is our intro and so on, it's good. We'd like to introduce Doug. Eh? Could we introduce Doug this show? We don't often have guests. The guy's standing right there. It'd be pretty rude of us to say, no, you can't be on. You know,
yeah,
that'd be a pretty ignorant thing to do.
That would be rude.
Yeah.
You can be.
As long as Doug, do you want to introduce yourself? This is the next step up, getting a guest spot on Gappage.
Well, hoping to fill the gap, I suppose.
There you are. You probably would too. Actually, you're probably right in the middle between the two of us.
I imagine so.
Age wise, thinking wise, in many ways, isn't that an interesting thought?
How does one fill the gap?
Through the bridge,
or bridge the gap?
How does one find oneself in the midst of the gap?
Is finding oneself actually important? At either end of the gap.
I think it's an impossible task. You try and you try and you try. And you don't. But the thing to do is you've got to break down so many fucking rules. I mean that. When I always say that, quit fucking beating up on yourself. That is my message. Because we do. We allow your everything in your life, your job, your marriage, whatever things are. They club the hell out of you constantly, you know? And so you've got to carve back and say, hey, whoa. Just doing the best I can. This is just me. This is,
that's something that's
bugging me, you know?
Had to come to terms with this year.
Yeah.
Figuring that out. Because it's certainly made me miserable more than not.
But, it's a challenge. It's a hard thing to do.
It's difficult.
You're in the midst of that process, too.
For sure. I'm finding a different person now.
And you've done it an interesting couple of years. Because what I was talking about earlier, when you just made that jump from architecture into something else. That's a life change. The whole pattern and direction of your life is different. But at the same time, it is because you're in control of it.
And I think even actually sort of moving from, well, wrote recently from being a bachelor.
Let's move a little closer.
From being a bachelor to...
Have a seat.
To even being married is...
Oof, that's a killer.
There's another big
shift.
Oh, another big change.
It's the biggest, I think. It's the biggest.
Well,
and it's the one that's beat up on me the most too. You know, it's been a rough road, but it's an important one.
Yeah,
I couldn't imagine the two things. I couldn't imagine not being married, and I couldn't imagine not having children.
Now, do you?
I just couldn't replay that tape.
Do you find that you have redefined yourself once getting married and once with children?
Yes, and they were definitional times, you know, and in the lead up, like it's the best story of my life, and it's a story I haven't told on my own podcast yet, but the story of my marriage, I was eloping and running up down on my hands and knees to say, God, 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 give me this woman, this has to work, like praying, like desperate, you know, and having to race across the country to find her. She was hidden, you know, being story threatened to throw out of the country and so on, so it was a battle. And then you get married 15, 20 years and you get to fucking pissing each other off a lot, you know? Hey, fuck, you know? And she is a stubborn woman. She's a strong woman. Her whole family is, you know? So it's constant. They never quite leave. But just the past couple of years, it's eased up and it's getting a little better. Oh, we might be in there for the long haul after all. Because it was heading for divorce, like just 2 years ago. Probably should have happened 10 years ago, and yet. I still look over it. There's still funny things about the communication, you know, just the language and the culture. Oh, and then having kids in there, and then you just, you know, you say, holy fuck.
Well, that redefines
you
again.
You know?
Right.
Exactly. And I was so stubborn at the beginning. Don't anybody ever fucking give me a book on how to raise children. Oh, now you're going to be a father. Fuck you. You know? You don't need a fucking book. Just get out there. My father didn't have one, blah, blah, blah. But a real stubborn resistance to knowing, you know, what are the rules of being a father? So I look at it now, and I look honestly, and I don't know whether I've done a great job or a really fucked up job. Because, like, they're both, and yet, I look at my two sons, and I'm proud of them, you know. And they're, boy, they've defined themselves. They're themselves. They're different creatures, bam. It's not just, you know, this little step. They've gone out. They've unleashed a new life out there, you know. Yeah. You hope it's good for them. As a parent, you just, your one job is, I don't want to make life any harder for you than it has to be. But then you get caught in roles, you know, and you're just, and my model is my father, and this is such an old generation, so far back, and that's the pattern I fall back on, you know, and then you're just, no, you're living it completely differently. Sorry, I didn't mean to dominate the conversation, but well, it felt good getting all that out.
I don't have much to add about marriage and children, given that I don't have those experiences, but when you were saying
our generation can at the very least say that, yeah, it would be a self-defining experience. It would be a restructuring of your personality.
Well, in the
almost.
Past 2 years, I've certainly
it's a new challenge.
Given more thought to the possibility of having children than I have in the past. It's something that I've been looking forward to. Mostly when I learn about or hear stories from other people that are closer to my age about being a father and that sort of thing. Sort of hearing it in a context that's relevant to, I guess, my generation or something like that is what really has made it something that I want, you know, that I aspire to at some point. But
now
it wasn't ever something, it was like, oh, I might have kids, but it wasn't ever anything that I wanted or anything like that. But
are you in sort of that circle? Is anybody in your circle of friends started to already, have they already started sort of getting married
I would say that there's maybe a few, but it's still, I would say of my circle of friends, I'm one of the older people.
Right.
So I would say that it's still a long way out before that's happening. So there's been less of a social impetus to make it happen.
I mean, I am a few years younger than Brent, but this past summer I recently attended one of my close childhood friends' weddings. And he was actually 1 year my junior as well, so he's younger than both of us.
Even that's a life changer, going to somebody else's wedding.
The very first wedding out of your peer group can really make you think about the future.
It's a weird experience.
It's interesting because right now, you know, all of my friends have, in the last 3 to 5 years, gotten married. And now we've just gone through the round of babies.
Right.
And it's amazing, actually, how the dynamic of the friendship starts to change. And you start to really realize which of your friends are the ones that you are sort of lifelong friends with, that you're going to be there. And it doesn't matter how long you've been away from them, that, you know, they're off busy dealing with their kid, their wife, or whatever. And then all of a sudden you can actually get back with them, and it's like they never went anywhere.
But I think that's the ultimate measuring stick of friendship, right? The ultimate complication would be having kids, having another life to take care of. And if you can do that successfully and still maintain a friendship, then it must have been worthwhile in the first place, right?
Yeah.
It's also weird because in my generation or in my age group, a lot of the girls are getting married at the age of 24, 25. Most of the guys haven't yet, but 24, 25... There are a few weddings upcoming with
I thought the movement, they were getting married later. The statistics moving up 28.
I think
they're 28
sort of or so. My generation is, we're, a lot of people are getting married around 30s.
Yeah.
You know,
but
my wife
is
turning 40 and having a baby, right?
Yeah.
And I think there's a pushback, people realizing that, you know, there's a certain point where you need that anchor, so to speak, or grounding.
I think we should recite the years of our birth just in order, just because you're talking about four different ages. What year was yours?
I was born in 1982.
1948.
I was an 85 baby.
And I was a 71.
71. Cover a wide range.
We do. It's quite a gap. Quite a lot of gaps.
Quite a lot of gaps. Yeah. Well, we're going to fill those. Well, I've been enjoying this talk. This is exactly what I needed. What I needed was to come out with buddies, get stoned, sit here, chill.
Fuck you.
Fuck everything else. Relax.
That was my
this is the joy of podcasting. We are a community. We are a tribe. We're a team. We're sharing this. This is a wonderful thing. And that, again, that was a message you wanted to put out to people. But if they're going to ask those questions, you know, the technical questions and the time, maybe you get it, maybe you don't get it. But podcasting is that wonderful thing.
I think it's nice to be in a place where everybody does get that sort of communal feeling. And
This is my tribe. That's what I was telling people. They're like, are you going to podcamp? What do you mean I'm like going to podcamp? Like, I'll go and stand in the hall. These are my people.
Like,
get along with them. Because they're on the same page about something at least.
And all these little things are historic occasions. You know, the little gatherings, there's the little ants aligning themselves up in these, this little grouping that we have today. You know, and the grouping last night, and all the groupings, and the grouping the night of the Only. We had a wonderful time at the Only. That was a very important night. That was for us, you know. And because I think this is only the second time I've met Doug. You know? Really, isn't it?
Yeah. Although it feels like
we're old friends. Years. We know each other. Sure. Yeah. Little buddies from way back.
That's one of the strange things. Podcasting. Like, I have the guy that does the BFF show, AJ, and I...
Sean, AJ. He's a good guy.
And he's a good guy, and I, you know, we heard each other's shows and stuff, and then on the, I guess it was the first podcamp, he came down, and he's from, or he was in Calgary at the time, I think, and, like, we had only just, like, talked over IM and heard each other's podcasts, but it was weird, like, the friendship that was there already, because... It was like this asynchronous transference of like sort of your personality and the other person absorbed it, but that person wasn't there at the same time, you know what I mean, while you were talking to them. It wasn't like a face-to-face building of a friendship.
I think, too, with sort of this, the way that these things get stored, like, dude, your old podcast being available and able to go back now, I've listened to things that you were doing 5 years ago, but I've just listened to them recently. And that's kind of the weird thing, is it's like I'm learning your history without actually asking you.
There was a period in there when I was angry so often when I was working in Rex, driving my car along the 401.
Yes.
And cursing goddamn. And today I'm still bitter about that job. And, it's an ugly period.
But leaving those things around seems to be, you know, extremely valuable in terms of a cultural history, a tribal history.
It is. The question I always have to ask myself, how would my sons take this? Like, as a father, you put yourself in this father role. You're supposed to be mature and responsible.
One of the many ways things change.
And then you show yourself. But part of my motive was that, because I feel there's so much more about my own father I would have liked to have known, you know? Because I know he liked to have a drink and he liked to party and have fun, but I only knew him in the father role.
Yeah,
I couldn't be his buddy. So,
Well, there's a gap right there between father and son, right? You need to, at some point...
Maintain
the distance. Be the disciplinarian or be the teacher.
Say, hey, I'm stuck. These are the roles, you know? It's my job to do this. I gotta give you shit, you know? It's my job.
I think the understanding of the difference, or myself trying to learn what the difference is between, like, what a person's like as a father and then that sort of their real person, that... Like, knowing you, and then I have a bunch of friends at work that have kids, but, you know, we're buddies and all that kind of thing. And some of their kids are, you know, like you, closer to my age than theirs kind of thing. And just being, I don't know, being real friends with them and knowing the real person and then knowing that they have this father role maybe makes me understand my own father a little better and that sort of thing. And then him and I have not a cozy relationship.
Well,
we haven't talked for a while, but that's...
Especially you and I, and not necessarily our age group, but you and I are perfect examples of people who, you know, the parental role has sort of elapsed, and we're through that time period where he may have these fatherly responsibilities, and now we can sort of open up and see them for their personal sides and what they're like with their friends and so on and so forth. And in both mine and Brent's case, unfortunately, that's created a little bit of distance because we're not so compatible as people, us and our fathers. But it's also enlightening at the same time.
It's seldom the case.
It is.
It's always a tough relationship. I don't know. I mean, there are exceptions. Maybe yours.
I don't know.
Well, my experience was that, you know, my father was, you know, he was the breadwinner. So he went away for the day. My mother stayed home. And I was... for the longest time, I figured, well, it was my mother that did all the raising. Yeah. But then I also realized that I got a lot of my sense of morality and views and on approaching life and philosophies from my father. Mm-hmm. But maybe through my mother or through the little bit of time that I spent with him, because he was very busy. He would go to work, come back. We'd spend some time, you know, watching the hockey game or something like that. And then it wasn't until I actually got into university and I was failing my third year and I called home and I said, fuck, Dad, I can't do this. I'm sorry to let you down.
I can relate on that one.
And he said to me, you know what, I failed my second year or my fourth year and I understand it. And I think that was that point where I said, okay, my dad was kind of like me at some point. Maybe I should have listened at some point.
My dad apparently knew what he wanted to be by the time he was like 12 years old.
Yeah.
He wanted to be a lawyer. And I went through sort of a period of not knowing what I wanted to do.
Both of us went through that. And it's like, it's him and I are on two different pages, and he goes through this with my brother too. He cannot conceive of how we don't know, or like now I have some, eventually got an idea of what it was I wanted to do as a career, but it wasn't anything I'd done in school. It was computers and the stuff I had spent all my free time on.
Right.
And he has a lot of trouble trying to understand that me and my brother had a lot of trouble coming to terms with what we wanted to do with our lives, because it just seemed like he's like, I'm going to be a lawyer, and that's what I've always wanted to do.
Sure,
he just
beelined it for that.
You got to feel sorry for them. Like, fuck, I want to be a lawyer from the age of 12? Sorry.
And my dad, props to my dad, because like he didn't have a wealthy family or anything, and he knew that he'd have like a tough road to hoe, and he pulled it off. But it's just, we're so different in that, and that we can't relate on that point. And that, I think, might be one of the reasons why there's so much friction between us. It's just because he seems so decisive about what he's going to do, and I don't.
Well, I mean, maybe that's a great example of generational difference right there, because there are so many more doors open to our generation as far as being able to work independently and being entrepreneurial and so on and so forth. You don't necessarily have to go into these set castes, lawyer, doctor, engineer, etc., etc. Whereas when our dads were going into their university streams, you really had to have something ultra-specific in mind.
Yeah, it certainly more encouraged the...
Well, when I was going through high school, you know, we would do the test, what are you set for? And, you know, they have those leading questions that... Obviously, they were trying to find, you know, plumbers the year that I was... eight out of the 10 kids that would get their reports back and say, oh, I should be a plumber. Well, or, you know, they wanted text. But, well, you know, I thought I knew when I was 12 that I wanted to be an architect. And that was the stream that I was going to follow through high school, through university. And then, you know, I had it planned out that somewhere down the line I was going to be, you know, drawing buildings and making buildings, and I was going to be the next Frank Lloyd Wright. Well, that changed as soon as I got into university. I realized, no, that's not what I want to do. And I was afraid for the longest time to even actually tell my father that was not what I wanted to do, because it was he and I that actually decided that one day on the driveway. My dad was in the garage building some sort of woodworking project, and we discussed what it was that I wanted to be. And so it was sort of, I felt an obligation to him to follow through on this dream that we had created for me. But it wasn't until after I actually told him that he said, well, that's okay, but understand that I'm worried. And I think that was the key part, was him saying, you know, the part of me wants to be your buddy and say, you know, follow your dream, do what you need to do. But the other part is the father that's worried for his son that says, well, I want you to be safe, sound, happy, and able to feed yourself. And, and I think that I think is, in retrospect, was a great moment.
Yeah.
I think kids today, even younger than us, value so much the ability to be at point B and not necessarily be directed towards point C, being able to go to D or E or F and skip between them. you know, it goes without saying that parents want to be able to follow their children's progression through life and see the A to B to C to D, but having that open-endedness.
I think it's more of a worry, though. I mean, most parents, it's just simply, it's built in. Your kids are your responsibility, and you just see where you want a happy path, but you're stuck in the role of having to give advice. Well, you know,
as you were saying two episodes ago on Dixon Chates, when your son was wearing a green beard and taking the TTC downtown.
Yeah.
You were worried, is there something about that that's not normal? Whereas I'm sure that back when, you know, you were about his age, you were just as likely to do something just as strange.
I'd say those are new limits, but I think it was good.
You know,
and I'm glad we had the conversation. Like, I knew afterwards that I had to, because it was bothering me, and I thought, hey, I'm going to go public with this because I want you to know I'm concerned. And it resolved itself. I said, hey, don't worry, I'm just testing my limits, you know.
So
that was good. My trip out to Vancouver with my son this summer was such a good thing to do with my elder son, and just. I let him smoke dope for the time, and just, you know, as you're dry, and, you know, I'd want it, and I'd sort of have the father frown, but we'd cross the bridge before we left, and shared a toke around the fire, and you know, the rules are bam, so relax, you're coming, I'm going out to see my old friends, we're doing this together. So I was able to suspend for those couple of weeks, the father, it was nice, hey, we're two buddies, you know, your mom's let us take the brand new... Hello.
Hello there.
Hang on, I gotta stop Leo Laporte here. You out rank him today.
As I always should.
Shut up, Leo. Whoa. Hang on. There.
This one's growing a mustache. I like it.
Well, everybody says I grew a mustache. I said, no, I just took away the beard. You know? So I got this old still photo of you. What's with that?
Oh, shoot. Hold on. Where's the button? I don't even know what the thing is. I'm going to deal with this shit.
I've heard there's problems with some of these cameras, and sometimes certain skin tones don't show up at all. You can't see the person. I don't know if that's an issue with you or...
You're a racist man, Ken.
Hey, you called me cupcake yesterday. And I was just about to shout back, listen, Brownie, I don't want any more of that.
Speaking of Brownie, the bash last night was perfect.
Yeah, I'm so pissed because I can't do it at my house. You know, I got two teenage sons and a wife who will get into them by mistake, and then I'm in trouble.
You could always, well, let me just see if I can do it.
Well,
I can't figure it out. Oh, there it is. Is that it?
I don't see anything yet, but whoa. Yeah, cheers. I got an empty tea. So a little off the top, eh? I don't remember you always being like quite like that.
Like this?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, since I've known you.
Right.
Well, this is a little bit newer, a little bit of
for sure. Well, maybe that's why. Maybe it exaggerates the top part. It's like your head's upside down or something. Anyway.
Yeah.
You're not going in for pro wrestling or anything, are you?
No, but you know what? I have a friend who does that, and I went to one of – or both of us went to one of his shows a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
It was in a golf dome, so it's a place where you usually go and practice your putt or your swing, whatever it is golfers do.
Yeah.
And half of it was roller derby, and the other half was pro wrestling.
That's pretty wild.
It was pretty fun, yeah.
Good stuff. Listen, I got the favor I had to ask. I've got 25 minutes of a Gappage episode we started at PodCamp Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
And have not been able to coordinate a meeting yet with the closet geek guy. I got to get out to his balcony and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sent out a tweet, you know, if you're around, call me. And he wasn't. And then I saw you're online. I thought, well, there's no reason that closet geek has to finish this particular episode of Gappage. I only want about, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes mm-hmm. of content. Why not talk to my buddy Sean, who's probably our only listener, and have you fill in?
I've got nothing better to do, and that's a sad situation.
Well, I don't know. It sounds like you've been pretty busy. You got all your writing done and out of the way, and now you're free to sit there and drink.
Pretty much, yeah.
Yeah. So you've been getting a lot more writing gigs going.
Well, the company I work for started hiring internal editors as writers, so I've been doing maybe two articles a week. And the good news is that the last one I wrote, which was about financing for kids.
Yeah, it got picked up, eh?
It was picked up by both Forbes.com and Globe and Mail, which was...
That's excellent. That's got to be a good feeling.
It is a good feeling. The good thing about it is that now I can actually credit that I'm a published author in Globe and Mail, not just some dick on a random website out of Edmonton.
This is nice. This is the way it works. And I know when we talked last spring when I rolled through, that was sort of a direction you're wanting to head in anyway. So it's good stuff.
Yeah. And I was on a conference call or on a call when you got in touch with me the first time today with Danielle Rossi.
Yeah.
And we're talking about doing another creative project too. So hopefully that's going to flesh out in the next little while.
Well,
and then you have to be the first subscriber to that too, just like you were the first subscriber to the BFF.
Well, I was certainly one of the early adopters. But
mm-hmm.
it's one of those shows. I think you have to know the people involved. You know, I think a stranger coming up cold, they're not going to get it all the time. You know, it takes a little while. I think with any new podcast, you got to listen to at least 5 or 6 shows to get a handle, decide whether you like it or not. I mean, some you might know after 10 seconds, no, it's out. But to get the flavor, you got to try.
Yeah, I mean, when I first started listening to podcasts, even I would listen to shows like who are those fucking guys, Don and Drew, and people like that. And until you get to know them, you aren't that engaged in the show. You're kind of like, oh, this is just two assholes talking.
Yeah.
But when you get to know them and see, okay, this is the way that this person reacts in this situation, this is the way that this person likes to tell stories, you start to gain some sort of allegiance to the characters. And that's what we were hoping for with that. But
That's the thing. Were you ever a Keith and the Girl fan?
You know what? I met them both at PME in Ontario, California.
Yeah.
I was wearing the podcast Pickle mascot suit.
Yeah.
And they were playing poker with Gary Leland, who ran the podcast Pickle.
Yeah.
And I ran up, and it's in the video that's on YouTube. I ran up to them and met them and talked to them for a while. But I was never a listener because here's why. They seemed malicious, and I'm not a fan of malicious people.
Yeah.
And so I couldn't listen to it. I like people who can have fun and make jokes without seeming like we've made fun of each other.
Yeah, but good nature.
But it never seems like you're never really attacking my character.
Yeah.
Whereas they seem to attack people's character. That to me is just bullying, and I'm not a fan of that.
Yeah, I agree. I'm fully with you on that one. The reason I ask is there's a guy I just discovered, another podcaster, through Tip Tap Tip, actually, said, you got to listen to this guy. I have a ham radio. His name's Keith McNally. And I never heard of the guy. And he's put out 100 shows, and they're really, really good. And he started off doing a couple cast with somebody called Aaron, and then got into this ham radio and XO and XO stuff. So I realized that there's a lot of networks out there of different podcasts. And you can think you're in one bubble and you can think that's the whole thing. And then suddenly you realize, no, there's all kinds of other little bubbles out there that you haven't even heard about. And he apparently was a regular guest or somehow connected to Keith and the Girl.
Keith McNally.
And he moved to New York because of it and now just moved to Toronto and got burned out of his house. So,
oh, wow.
Very, very, very good. You know, kind of, you know, that kind of authenticity that I appreciate in people.
Well, and that's sort of the beauty of it is that there's always going to be a show. Okay, you're a fan of, let's say, 60s and 70s rock music, right? But you know that there's, no, you're not?
I am, sure, but I know.
But you know that there's only a certain amount that's out, and you know there's only a certain amount that's worth listening to.
Hmm.
But I think with podcasting, there's always going to be another show you can discover. In my day job, I'm an editor, and so I have about 60 writers underneath me. And I just found out yesterday that one of my writers hosts a podcast race betting.
He hosts a what?
He hosts a podcast for horse race betting, like gambling.
Okay. That's a specialized field.
Yeah, but that's the thing is that, and he's a really entertaining, funny writer. But now I know that he has his actual personality and he can speak. You know?
Yeah. Well, it's interesting. Well, I went the other way around. I met somebody, Naturals at Midnight, who I just heard about, and he kept popping up on Twitter and the blog, and somebody make reference to him, but never met the guy. And there's always a picture of him with the shades on, the cool designer sunglasses. I thought, well, who is this guy? And we just arranged to meet for a beer, take a chance. And we had a great evening together, and he's become a listener of me through Etiquette Bitch, who's a friend of Tim Coyne's, and it's... I just love the woven fabric. It just amazes me how many people I've connected with, you know, in a world where so often we're isolated. We don't know our neighbors anymore, and yet we connect with people halfway across the country just through this new media we have, this new tool, you know, it's wonderful.
Did you blow them?
Do I what?
Did you blow them?
I made him take off the sunglasses first.
Attaboy.
Yeah.
So what's the deal? So Brent's just abandoning his show now?
He's well, actually, so the deal is this is an episode of Gappage, and you're helping me finish it off. So we have to explore a couple of gaps, you know. Maybe okay. Get away from the, you know, you're black, I'm white, could do that. But I think we can do a little better than that, you know.
Well, you know what's funny is that I have a friend who's, she used to be a DJ in Edmonton, and she was a big Democrat.
Yeah.
And then she moved to Texas. Mm. And she married a fighter pilot in the army.
Ooh.
And she became the biggest right-wing Republican conservative you're ever going to meet. And now she got into a war with one of her friends on Facebook about healthcare. Mm. And they went back and forth. And it was funny to me because the only insult that she could come up with was she kept calling this person who was criticizing her healthcare opinions, she kept saying, communist. You're a communist. You're a communist. And like that's going to be an insult, number one.
Yeah. It's kind of scary, though, the mindset. Like you'd almost think it was written as a play and it can't be real, and they've just exaggerated the stereotypes, you know, to make it more exciting. But no, this is for real. There's a lot of people out there. Speaking of, I just unfriended somebody on Facebook. I shouldn't be saying this, but I just did. I guess it was a bias on my part. When I saw, for some reason, I didn't even know why I was connected. Or maybe she asked to be a friend, asked to be connected through Foursquare or something. And it was just, when I saw, checked out her profile, and her favorite book was the Bible. And I just immediately said, no, like, sorry. I you know, I guess that's a little maybe unfair of me to do that. But it's almost like you want to, yeah, I don't know, be around people with a broader outlook, maybe. I don't know.
Well, we can say that, but then we're both friends with Daryl Cognito.
Well, there you go. And is it friends or is it sympathy? Is it, you know, is it care? I used to work with mentally handicapped, by the way. So now that's just something we, you know, that's not a direct reference to Daryl, of course. But
of course not. No, I didn't. Why would I assume that?
I believe he's involved in social work.
He is involved in one way or another. Maybe on both ends. Maybe on both ends of the spectrum.
That's
I don't
right.
know.
That's right.
But no, I mean, I've had to defriend people for the same reason. Sometimes it happens, whereas, you know, people that you think you knew, all of a sudden, and to you it's coming out of nowhere because you haven't talked to them in a couple of years, or you just met them and had, you know, an assumption of who they were.
Yeah.
But they come out with an opinion that you completely never even saw coming from that type of person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And that was the case with this girl who was a devout Christian Republican.
It's frightening. Man, there's a lot of them out there. And there's an irony to it because, you know, it was the enemy. It was these devout, crazy Muslims, fanatical people with religion. And, man, you listen to that religious right wing. And that's a strong movement. And you know what's the most frightening is there's cagey enough, smart enough to know that they're going to infiltrate the political system at the bottom. They figure the Tea Party has already figured that out. And they're going to start taking control of school boards, local city governments, and they're going to start that way. They say, we don't need a revolution. We're just going to get in there, figure out how the system works, and take control from the bottom. And, you know, they're doing it. That's going to happen. God damn, that's frightening.
It's a scary thought. It's even a scarier thought when you think that this is, I mean, we could reference people like, what was that chick's name? Sarah Palin.
Yeah.
You know what? And she's the first fuckable presidential candidate.
Yeah, this is it. Like, who wouldn't want to do her?
Exactly. You know? I'm sure that belly's a mess. It must look like lasagna.
Yeah. Anyway, let's not go there.
But she, in any social setting, you'd talk to her and think, this is a person who knows what she does, but knows nothing else. Has had no life experience, has had no world experience, but knows how to deliver her message to the people that she's speaking to at the time. So she can command a room. And that's the scary part is that there are millions, literally millions of people in Canada and the States who are susceptible to that sort of message.
Well, and the woman who just more recently, Ann Coulter, who just came out to Calgary, you know, got shouted down in Ottawa and never got to speak, but came out to Calgary and was, you know, selling tickets for this. And a lot of people, I maintain, good, free speech, say whatever you want to say, I don't care, you know.
Well, and there's a difference between the two to me, though, is because Sarah Palin, she comes across as somebody who is going to influence people based on what she believes, whereas Ann Coulter, I think the act is known. People who listen to Ann Coulter know that's her Stephen Colbert gimmick.
It's stand-up, yeah. It's a thing. That's right. No, you know, Palin is a force to be rivaled. She's got a lot of the teabaggers and other people.
You know that they polled people, though, and they said that the front runner, I think it might have been about 3 months ago, for the Republican Party for the next election would have been Sarah Palin. And that scared me a little bit because it means that people just aren't paying attention. And again, this is nothing against if you're a Republican or if you believe in conservative beliefs, because I have a lot of those myself.
Sure.
I also have a lot of liberal beliefs.
Yeah,
but to just follow a party because of that person to me is insane. I just don't understand that train of thought.
It's about being informed and having informed opinions. It's not telling people how to think. Yeah, you can be right wing, but at least be aware of it and intelligent about it and being able to explain your beliefs. And I think maybe I'm trying to find a gapage here. And of course, one of the gaps is between the friends I have in America, the people who I know and like, and the listeners to my own podcast, the Dixon James podcast. Just great people. People I just feel akin to and don't feel any separation from. Mm-hmm. And then there's that country they are citizens of and you know, members of, and a political system they have that's controlling to some degree a large part of their lives. And that's a monster to me. You know, I'm afraid of the United States of America. I'm afraid of that government. I'm afraid of that power.
The thing is that I would actually love to live somewhere in the U.S., just because of the climate. I'm tired of minus 50 winters, and I'd like to live somewhere a little bit warmer. But
you're in Alberton. You want to connect with your roots too, right?
Yeah, what a dick. Like. And the reason that I haven't is largely because I don't want to be under control of their power system, because it's intimidating.
Well, I think you could easily get beat up. I mean, a guy like yourself, too, could just mouth off at the wrong time in a bar and just have a shit kicked out of you. You can see that happening within the first week of moving down. So.
Have you ever worked in bars or clubs or restaurants?
I never have. I've been a very good patron of them, but never worked in one.
That's obvious. Yeah. By the bulbous nose. Now, the thing that you learn when you work in bars is that you learn how to diffuse a situation really quickly. I went to an Edmonton Eskimos game a while ago, and there were some drunk guys in front of me, and they were sort of yelling to each other. What are you drinking there, big guy?
It's just a cup of tea. It's all I had left. I'm in my office.
Okay. There were two guys sort of face-to-face, and they were yelling to each other, and it looked like they were fighting. Mm. And I yelled some stupid comment, like, why don't you just kiss him or something like that?
Ooh.
To
an Eskimos fan.
Well, yeah, and you think that they would turn around and, you know, yell at me, but they turned around and I sort of diffused it because I worked in bars for, I'd say, 13, 14 years. Mm. And you get to understand the level of drunkenness that people are at.
Yeah.
But I don't even know why I went on this tangent.
Well, you got to gauge their character. You got to be, that's taking a chance going out there, but you probably had a pretty good sense of how they were going to take it, you know.
Yeah, that's true.
Could go any other way.
Yeah. Yeah, I'd love to live in the States, but you're right. A person like me could get into some trouble.
Well, I wonder why. I mean, is Alberta the home for you? Because, I mean, we talk about the States. I mean, I feel some of the same feelings about Alberta. The province of Alberta frightens me a little bit, too.
Well, Alberta and Texas are really sister state and province, right?
Yeah.
They're really close to each other. It's a very conservative province. I think that personally, I'd be more suited in BC or maybe even somewhere in Montreal, or in Quebec.
That is so weird. It is so weird because right now, as we've been talking, I've been thinking, okay, where would I put Sean? Two places: BC, Montreal.
Yeah,
this is what came to my mind. But I could see you getting pissed off with a little bit of the laid back attitude in BC, and I think you're a little bit frustrated because you're dealing with the people around you. Same as taking me forever to adjust to Toronto. I can see you being a little bit pissed with some of the things about BC. Might just get to know you a little bit, that Lotus Land idea. And well, then Montreal, you're going to have to put up with the cold winter again, you know. You're going to be thinking, why am I doing this? And,
is Montreal bad for weather? I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. It's a wicked winter. Much, much worse than Toronto. Toronto's civilizing. I could see you doing fine in Toronto, actually.
Well, I grew up in Toronto. I grew up until I was about 12 or 13 in Toronto.
There you go.
Every time I go back and visit because my best friend lives there, and I've got a bunch of, you know, people like you, people I've met in the last 6 years who live there. So I love to come out and visit. But after a week or two, I kind of start going, I'd like a little bit of space.
Yeah, well, that's the feeling. That's the one thing you have to adjust to when you come here, because you can't escape the concrete. Your first image, it's concrete and pavement everywhere. Yeah. And how the hell do you get out, you know? And you drive forever to escape. I'm lucky. Living on the fringes of Scarborough is beautiful. My wife and I went for a little drive the other day to Port Perry, I guess, and you're out in the rural countryside, you know, and you're out there at a little restaurant, and it's really nice. You're on a lake, so you can't escape.
There's a weird trade-off, though, and this is something I've debated in my head for a while, is do I want to live closer to the mountains, or do I want to live closer to the lakes? And that's been my big thing about going to BC or going to Ontario, is the mountains versus the lakes, and I honestly think I'm more of a mountain person than I'm a lake person.
I'm definitely a water person. Like, I need the water. I need a river. Now, to me, of course, you can have both, the mountains or the river running through. And I could, when I drove through with my son, on our way back, we stopped in Nelson. And we parked the car. We spent the day there. And I said, man, this is it. If there's ever any way, if my marriage ends or if whatever happens, I'm packing up and I'm moving to Nelson. It's like a place for leftover hippies. And I didn't know the city at all.
Yeah, no, I've been through it.
Surroundings, beautiful place, laid-back atmosphere, and to me, that would be paradise.
But you said you're also more of a lake person. I mean, Nelson's got its lakes.
Yeah,
but
you got lakes in there.
But they're not great. But
it's water. You can get near the water. You know, I might, but there's a trade-off. You know.
Well, here's the thing: is that if you're living in BC, you're closer to a lake. And if you're living in Ontario, in proximity to a mountain. And so I'd rather have the mountains with some sort of water nearby than have a lake with mountains on the other end of the country.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Vancouver was a nice place for me. I enjoyed my years up there. North Vancouver in particular was a little bit seedy, a little bit run down.
You liked Vancouver.
I spent the 70s out there. Drunken stoned all the time, but I held down a few jobs. And
Vancouver in the 70s would be a blast.
Well, we thought it was Hicktown. We moved out there in 1972 and thought, man, is this Bush League. Like, compared to Montreal, the liquor laws were archaic. This is before the pub licensing. So if you went in, only a large-sized hotel could serve beer, and the waiter had to bring it to your table. One of these round, shitty tables, you know, with a fuzzy red tablecloth.
Yeah.
They put the shitty draft beer down on your table, and that's the only place. There was no pub license, nothing. And, it just seemed, wow, this is just so Bush League but exciting. You know, it's the West Coast, that air you breathe. And and then we discovered, you know, the Lower East Side and Hastings Street and the country and Western bars. And they got in. We had a lot of fun. I those were good years. I'm finally beginning to realize how good they were. I thought they were the lost decade, but it's actually, it was a pretty good time.
I enjoy Vancouver when I go, but Vancouver to me is the same as Toronto. I can last maybe a couple of weeks there, and even if I live there, I'd get the feeling of I just want to go home. Mm. But this realization came to me of where I wanted to live when I was camping last year, and I was driving through. I went through Jasper, through Hinton, through Edson, into BC, and I felt that there was this little town. I can't remember what it was called, but I stopped in a restaurant. Middle of the day, I had no campsite for the night. I was a little bit worried because it was, you know, 5 or 6 p.m. And the sun was starting to go down. And I sat on the patio of this place and just ordered a beer. My dog, who you've met.
Yeah, indeed.
Sitting beside me. And I'm sitting there drinking. And then a hummingbird flew past my head and just started sniffing at the pole that was in the middle of the table that led to the umbrella.
Mm.
I said, that is one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen in my life. Why am I not living where I can see things like that every day?
Yeah.
Yeah. And I realized, and everywhere in Canada has something like that, but it's about what connects with you. And I would probably lean towards BC versus the East Coast or the East side of Canada for reasons like that. Just a little bit more nature, a little bit more organic nature.
Yeah, I see that attraction. I found my refuges, of course, is Bluffers Park that I can get to, a beautiful park on the water. But I don't know, the idea of you've got to make the best of whatever place you're going to find, and you're going to have to maybe hope you don't die in one spot, you know? Is this really it? Like, shit, you know, isn't there more still to see or experience? But well, I guess what bugs me about on that line, I used to think every time I found a place I really liked, oh, no problem, I'll come back someday. And I'm finally woken up to the fact that, no, I'm not coming back. You know, I went to Washington, D.C. with the wife and the boys. Mm-hmm. I'm probably never going to go back there. You know, I'd love to. I thought, this is great. I'd love to visit here. But, man, time runs out. The clock's ticking. It's not just about getting old, but just there's so many other things to do. You still got to earn a living. You still got to do all this shit to get by. When do you have time just for that kind of free travel? And that's something that never troubled me in my youth because you didn't think about it. You weren't worried about your fucking finances and savings. You just traveled.
Well, I went to Dominican Republic about a month and a half ago, and I did a tour through the local towns, and it was amazing to me how local towns were. I'd never been off the continent. Okay, so it's amazing to me how simple some of the towns were, but how happy the people were. And you realize how little of what you actually have you need. My TV upstairs has this weird line down the middle of it. It was repaired and it's broken again. It has this weird digital blurry line down the middle of it. Anybody I know would sit there and bitch and bitch and bitch and call Future Shop and you need to come and fix my TV.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at this line going, it really doesn't bug me that much. Am I that different than the next guy because I don't think I need to have the perfect clear picture on my television?
That's the thing. I mean, some people are never going to be happy, period. There's always going to be something. And I think that's part of the irony is that's the problem that comes with our wealth and our comfortable lifestyle is we just have so many more things to make us miserable. You look at all the technology people have and, oh, fuck, the battery's dead. Oh, shit, they got a new version. And people are continually miserable. I saw the happiness I saw in the love in my bush village in Nigeria, where people had nothing.
Yeah.
They were walking around smiling, singing, dancing, and hugging each other. And I thought, wow, they're not putting that on for the tourists. This is their daily life. You
know? That's what they do, and they're genuinely happy with it, which is perfect.
It's weird. And yet we are just so caught up in so many different things. Our lives have become so complex that there you go.
I don't think we found the gap today, Ken.
No, this is the problem. You see, it's easier when I'm doing it with, what's his name there, the Closet Geek guy, because a lot of gaps between him. But you and I are sort of on a similar wavelength in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's maybe that proves a point. Maybe he'll be say, hey, let me back in there. You know, we got to do the show. You can't do it with Sean anymore. And you know.
Well, and the thing is that Brent and myself are closer in age than I am with you.
Yeah.
So to me, it is a little bit strange that you've stayed at my house before. We've gone out and drank, we've smoked, we've done all that stuff together. It is a little bit strange to me that we have had minimal conflicts with a lot of things, whereas the whole point of Gabbage is to point out the differences between people. Is that right?
I'm not sure what the point is anymore, but to explore where there are gappages, I think the obvious one with us is the age time. And, you know, I just going back to my toys and what I play, I was thinking about that the other day, the simplicity of my old childhood, of, you know, especially when it came to what did you play, what did you do, compared to somebody like Brent, who's only grown up in a world of technology and so on. I was looking at some comic book covers today that thanks to another blogger. And it was an amazing link, and these were all U.S. Army comic-type books, you know, the simple pictures of blowing-up enemy tanks and so on. Mm-hmm. And I can remember those from a kid, and the cowboy comics. And it just seems so funny to think, yeah, cowboys were my heroes. There were no cowboys where I lived, but that was your world, you know, and so much simpler. So that's easier to point out with Brent. But you and I tend to get into a little more of the philosophy and whatnot. And
Well, so, I mean, the difference in, if we want to stick with the toys thing, the whole difference in your generation and my generation, I think, is that the majority of the things that I played with were plastic. And they were mass-produced plastic painted toys made by the Hasbro company or the Mattel company.
Yeah. But they did things too, though, didn't they? I mean, you could manipulate them and so on. Like if we
yeah, bought... they had Kung Fu grip.
Yeah.
And everything's better with Kung Fu grip.
We had the toys, you had to pick it up with your hand and move the thing and jump it up and down or something. But, of course, a favorite was just, you know, the game, you could have a game called Trucks and Cars.
Yes.
Now, God damn it, that can't be real. And yeah, it was real. You had your little dinky toys, and you made roads with a popsicle stick in the dirt, and you drove them along these roads. And nothing was more fun than making winding roads, you know? Jesus. Maybe I was just a slow kid, but I think most of the others are like that, too. I don't know.
Yeah, I think that breeds creativity, though. I don't know if you're handed a storyline and characters. I don't know if you're going to be prone to be more of a creative person, which is what I kind of fear. Because I don't have kids now, but I eventually do want to have kids.
Yeah.
And I fear that they're going to grow up in a world where they feel like the toys they play with, since they are so myopic, they are so one-dimensional, that they have to follow these lines that are laid out for them, like I said, by Mattel.
Well, they showed, there's a video going around YouTube now, of course, of a girl 2.5 years old playing with the iPad. You know, the day it came out, and she just knew what to do, and she's scrolling away and doing all these things, and so everybody's like, oh, isn't that cool, isn't that amazing? But you do have to wonder about that. Oh my God, that's her first toy. No, maybe not first toy, but it was a weird, weird vibe to the whole thing, like, whoa. But we could get on, that'd be another track altogether, the outlook of the world. And my big worry is that, because I'm getting older, if I say the world is really fucked, people are going to say, oh, you're just saying that because you're older. Old people always say that. You know, it's not really fucked. And so I need to connect with younger people who don't necessarily have that view. Yeah, we'll get through everything. You know, we will.
Well, what's the last new musician that you've listened to?
Well, actually, interesting enough, my son just gave it to me. It was a guy from the 70s in Ethiopia. Because my son is turning me on to music all the time. So yesterday he just gave me a new Ween CD, or we share them.
Yeah.
Ween I love.
Yeah.
As a band. And I've never heard of them anywhere except through these CDs my son kept bringing home.
Yeah.
The one before that was this Ethiopian guy. And again, my son discovered it through some of his friends. So I'm getting a lot of new music. Music's not a problem. Music, I'm just being exposed to more and more stuff, and through other people's podcasts too. This guy was telling you about I Have a Ham Radio, play stuff I would never listen to, and yet I'm loving it. You know, so it's a wide world out there, and I still feel well connected. Why do you ask?
No, I was asking because a lot of the time the people who and you do appreciate sort of the simpler things, and a lot of the time the people who appreciate simpler things don't keep up with advancements in, or not advancements, it's a bad term, I guess, but progression in music and you know, what's coming out now. And I could talk to my dad, who was an enormous music fan when he was growing up, and he probably hasn't listened to a new band in 15, 20 years.
Yeah, well, see, having two teenage sons changes all of that for a while.
True.
But I think it's because I'm on the internet and I've discovered this thing. I mean, I had to write a paper the other day, and I thanked Stephen Jobs for just or the geniuses at Apple in particular for opening up this world to me. Because I mean, I was there for that very, very first little beige Mac, that box, and that's just opened up the world of music and so many other things and chatting and making new friends. So.
There's a band you should check out. Actually, have you? There's a movie that I told you you should watch that you'd appreciate. Have you watched it yet?
No, and I can't remember the name, but I've got
the movie. It's called 1 Week, and it's about a guy who realizes or finds out that he has cancer, and he just needs to explore Canada. He's from Toronto, I believe, and he has to just drive on a motorcycle west to see what's out there because he's never done it. But the music in this movie was what really drew me in. Mm. And there was a band, I believe they were called Winter Sleep.
Okay.
And I think they're from Nova Scotia. Mm. Do you don't really promote music on Gappage, do you?
Not on Gappage. I do on Dixon Jane's. I play a lot, but it's stuff from my library, and basically it ends up being whatever my son is giving me that week very often makes it on. But Gappage, no. Gappage is not about music.
Well, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor because I'm doing you a favor by sitting and talking to your old ass for.
Oh, I thought I was doing you a favor by having you on our show. Okay. Whoa. We got a little bit of a gap here. Perceptions, you know. What, I'm supposed to be impressed because I got the star of the BFF show on Gappage? Hey, this is going to improve our ratings?
Couldn't hurt.
All right. So what's the favor?
A band called Wintersleep. I believe they're from Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
And the song is called Weighty Ghost.
And you're going to send it to me?
I'll send it to you if you could play it at the end of the show.
All right. No, that's a deal. That's good. Hey, now I thank you because I needed an ending. And I'm just going to do this and tell Brent, sorry, you bastard, you're too late getting back to me, you know? He's a bit of he's a hard read sometimes, that guy. I think he's just a little bit lazy sometimes. I may as well talk about him while he's, you know, because to bring him into the show, we can talk about the little guy. Do you get that read on him? A little bit lazy, maybe?
You know, I think most podcasters have a laziness gene that's pretty much passed on from person to person. I don't know if I see laziness because he does a lot of those. He does DJ mixes now, right?
I guess so.
He uploads, and I think he just got to something like 10,000 downloads.
Ooh.
So
he's posting all the time. I give him that. But
maybe his priorities have shifted. Maybe somebody needs to make a switch from the Gappage show to the BFF show and come on as
a guest?
A regular contributor.
That sounds like an invitation to your show. I've never been invited onto the BFF show. Although I have a feeling I'll be heard on the BFF show.
Let's stop for a second there because you have been invited. You stayed at my house and I said, why don't we go record? This weekend isn't about recording. That's my invitation.
I must have been drunk. I don't recall saying that.
I'm pretty sure we were.
I think it was you who said that. No, we're not going to spoil this conversation by going and getting the equipment. Yeah, I'm pretty sure the decision came from you.
Probably.
Anyway, it's not too late. But I do believe you. I might have contributed something in the past couple of weeks.
Oh, no. You're definitely going to be on the show in the very, very near future.
Yeah.
So it's like I posted, like I told you, What you sent made my night.
Well, I'm looking forward to hearing it because I don't recall, but I was, you can probably guess, I was pretty loaded at that point.
But, yeah.
Anyway, this has been good. This has been very helpful. Ties it up nicely, you know. And Brent will be pleased. I'll say, hey, we got to show it. And all I'm looking for is now Brent and I can start clean with a new show. We have this routine, which I kind of like. We go to his balcony. In his apartment, his brother usually drops in, and we just sit there, get some beer, maybe have a toke, and get a show going.
Yeah,
and it's a nice. We seem to prefer to do it in person.
Yeah, no, it is easier. I think that's one of the obstacles for myself and Mikey, who's the other host of the BFF show, is that I record from here in Alberta, and he's in Nebraska, and there is a lack of a visual element because.
Yeah.
We're not in the same, like, I can't play a video and have him comment on the video because we're not both watching it.
You tease the guy quite a bit, don't you?
You egg him on a bit. I try and get the best out of him. Let's say that.
Yeah. He takes it well.
Oh, he's
listen to that, and I think, God damn it, I'd be firing back, and he takes it pretty well.
He sends me messages and pictures constantly when I'm at work, and it's some of the funniest things. He's one of the funniest people I've ever met.
Yeah, a very interesting guy.
Yeah, he's a really entertaining person to listen to.
He's comfortable with himself, I think.
Absolutely. I'll send you some of these pictures just for your own entertainment.
Well, the thing is, some of the things you talk about, those are images I don't know if I want to see that come up sometimes.
Yeah.
But,
it's not a clean show.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But you know what it is? It's the fact that I think throughout my life I've been told that I sort of had this diuretic excretion coming from my brain.
There you go.
And BFF is sort of a place to throw it.
Well, it's a perfect outlet for you. And the thing is, it works. You bounce off each other, and it's a lot of fun. I think the fact that it comes out on an irregular basis, I think that's the beauty of podcasting. You do it, you know, as you want. And you get regular listeners. People will wait and be patient.
Yeah, it's not for everybody. And like I said, if we didn't know each other, I don't think you'd be listening.
Possibly not. I think that has a lot to do with the characters. But that, again, that's the fun of it. No thoughts of doing another one on your own, or no drive there? Is it your needs are met with the BFF?
I'd wanted to, because I, for my day job, a lot of the time I get to interview, so I wanted to put out a show, an interview show of just bands and musicians, and have that replace what my old show was, maybe even under the same moniker. But it never came down to it.
I like your old show, but yet you seem to be able to express enough of yourself through the BFF show that maybe it's not necessary. I don't know.
Well, my old show was made when I was a chronic alcoholic and on a lot of pills. So the fact that you liked it might have been a contributing factor of those
things.
And I'm just, to be honest with you, I use it as therapy for a long time, and I just don't need that anymore.
You see, so. I'm still in therapy myself. So obviously you've learned something I haven't yet, because I'm still going through the process. You ought to give my show a listen to sometime, the Dixon James podcast.
You do know I'm a listener. I'm not a regular listener of podcasts in general, but every once in a while, like if I'm going on a camping trip, I will just load it up with podcasts that I've listened to in the past because I'm afraid of new things, so I listen to the old things.
Rest
assured that this summer there will be at least, I'd say, 5 or 6 Dixon James that are on the iPod.
All right. Well, they're all pretty much interchangeable, so it really wouldn't matter which one you got up there.
You don't sound like you believe me one bit.
No, not at all. But anyway, it's all right. We're friends anyway.
Exactly.
You wouldn't want to be in a position where the only friends you'd have are people who would listen to your show, and if they didn't listen, you drop them. You know, you'd end up a pretty lonely.
I would kind of prefer when people don't, because exactly.
Yeah.
I almost prefer it when people don't listen, just because I know that I'd say 40% of the things I say at another time I would have wished I could take back.
Well, and I think in particular, I mean, the kind of show it is, you don't want to put that out there for everybody. Yeah. It's not meant for everybody. You want to have that freedom to express yourself, to say whatever the hell it is you want. But I have, like, nobody near where I work, with the exception of one guy, would I ever let know there is such a person as a Scarborough dude and puts out a podcast. You know, hey, whoa, I don't want that.
Little do they know that he's a legend.
There we are.
Yeah.
Speaking of which, you're not going to PAB, I guess, this June. One point you were talking about it.
You know, I was talking about it, and I realized I've never been a fan of. I don't know how to say this without sounding like a dick, but I've never been a fan of being a part of a group.
Hmm.
And that goes with. I was on the high school football team, and I didn't like hanging out with the high school football team.
You sound like a real dick.
I'm a loner, isolated dick. I really am.
Yeah.
When I was at PAB last time, which was I think was 2 or 3 years ago, 3 years ago, I had a blast. I loved it. The people who were there are great, but I'd rather deal with them one-to-one without this almost a mob mentality of podcasters. You ever read Kurt Vonnegut?
Yep.
I believe it was in Galapagos where he created a religion called Buchanism.
Mm.
And one of the terms in Buchanism was the word Grand Falloon.
Was what?
GRANFALOON, I believe is how you spell it. Grand Falloon. Mm-hmm. And it's basically a group of people who have a false association.
Mm.
So, like saying we're all in the same boat because we're Canadians. Really, we have nothing in common besides the fact that there's the chance that we were born in the same country. That's not a human association.
Yeah.
And I would prefer to have human association and choose who I communicate with rather than being dropped in a situation and say, deal with these people and find out what you have in common.
Yeah, I guess we all have different approaches to that. I mean, I'd argue the point. I'd say that Canada shapes us to a large degree, too, being born here. Mm-hmm. I'm affected, I know, by the geography of the land. I mean, it has an impact on I think, who we are. But there's a lot of variables there. But I do find, I guess you pick and choose. I mean, there's a whole lot of podcasters I don't want anything to do, especially the people who are doing it commercially or doing it for social media or to promote themselves or to make money. Mm-hmm. I don't have a whole lot of common, but I know how to get my way through and find the people I really do want to connect with. And so even any social gathering, you know what table you're going to join. You know you know who you're going to want to be with. And there's always enough of them. And there's always a new one. Like every gathering I go to, you always meet a couple of people at least who we think, wow, really glad I met that person. I'm going to look forward to meeting them again.
Yeah, so. And that happens. And that happened at PAB, and that happened at the PME, whereas you sort of gravitate towards the people who – and that's why I met Mikey, was at PME.
Right.
For the BFF show, and that's how I met – that's how I really got to know you and people like Bill Dees.
Exactly. That's my point, the fact that we're talking here. To me, that's amazing, and I think that's a phenomenon that people don't appreciate well enough or understand how big this is, and it is a kind of club. It is almost – you know, I go so far as to say almost a religion, but without any religion to it.
Yep.
But there is it is a very, very neat medium. But I think it's maybe because there are certain things in people – that make them become podcasters or want to share in this medium. So the qualities, I don't know if we got to, it'd be an interesting psychological study is to analyze and to do case studies of podcasts and find out what are the common aspects of personality here? What is it, something about the outlook on life? What is it that does bond these people and bring them together?
Well, I'll tell you the two factors that made it for me, and you can take those two factors and see if they compare with anybody else. It was alcoholism and an abusive relationship, and that developed a podcaster.
Alcoholism, so if you can, an abusive relationship. Okay.
So if you can match those up with anybody else, you know, I'd love to see what the common.
I think alcohol definitely is a thread that runs through in there. But you, I mean, I would look for others. You've always had a need to communicate. You're a writer. This is part of who you are. You do need to reach out and share and connect. Mm-hmm. I think that's something within you, and I think that's true of everybody who is in this field, is some kind of a need to connect. And what is it? Why is that? What are the factors that make that a predominant part of the personality? You know?
Well, I think that the majority of people I've spoken to have a need to be heard. They have a need to. They think, whether it's true or whether it's not, they think they have a point of view that needs to be heard by somebody. And that was one of the biggest factors for me, was that. Yes. And I didn't want instant feedback. I didn't want to say something and have 40 people come back and say, I agree or I disagree. I didn't want that. I wanted to be able to put my stuff out there and forget about it and act like I never even said it, and maybe I'll address it in the future.
Yeah. I agree with that. I can see that too. Although it sure as hell is nice when you get feedback, even if it's down the road.
Yeah, I mean, I usually prefer, like I said, I'm not a fan of bully feedback. And the only times that I've ever struck out at people have been bully feedback. Hmm.
You guys on the BFF show, you beg regularly for call-ins and feedback.
There's a huge difference between getting feedback about how things are going and other people just giving us content.
Yeah.
I'd prefer to just get – I want to do the least amount of work that I possibly can.
Well, there you go. You're good at that.
Exactly.
Pull it off. Okay, this has been great. I think that whole ending was an added bonus. I got myself a Gappage podcast here. Thanks to Sean. What do you like to be called? Just Sean? Or what do you
call me Sean.
The BFF guy?
BFF. Well, the website is thebffshow.com.
Oh, fuck.
I'm going to plug it. You know I'm going to plug it.
Well, listen, I have no idea, but I can see I'm it on happening now. What, you got a call-in number or something? Call-in number.
We do, but Mikey usually says that part, so I don't even know
you
what
don't
it
remember
is.
It.
Twitter.com/thebffshow.
Yeah. No, I would have given you that one, you know. I would have been happy. And then I would have demanded you relay the comments back to us. But Okay, listen, good talking to you. I look forward to our next meeting, wherever the hell it's going to be, and when. Who knows, eh? You know.
I'm planning on. I'm buying a new bike at the end of this season, and I'm planning on driving east.
And is that going to be the two of you on the bike, or just yourself?
Be myself.
Just yourself, eh?
Just myself, touring the country, and just see. No, it's sort of similar to what you did. You wanted to see the country. You wanted your son to see what it was out there. And for me, I've never made the trip. You know, I've flown a bunch of times, but I've never driven.
It's a great, great thing. Now, there's still two of you within the household. I just want to get that clear, right?
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Yep.
And the dog.
And the dog.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we just did move into the new house, so it's...
Yeah. Now, did that sound like a house you were buying? Or
That's
amazing. That's huge.
It is big, but you know what? I've been renting since I was 16.
Yeah.
And I've never been a fan of it because I'm thinking about if I were to go back and think about from 16 to, I'm 33 now.
Yeah.
If I were to count the amount of months that I paid, you know, $1,000 or more in rent for the last.
Oh, it's a heartbreaker, right?
Yeah, exactly. 17 years or whatever it's been. I could have owned a house.
Well, you got to say it's never too late, and you gone ahead and you've done it now. Maybe it just wasn't the time in the past.
Yeah. Hey, honestly, it doesn't affect me as much as I let on. It's it's just another way to pay for where you're living.
Yeah. Well, it's a nest. Yeah. Yep. You know, and you're probably going to get more and more of those nesting instincts.
But I have a fire pit and I have a mini bar inside the house, so
I got to make another visit.
Yeah, come on, we'll sing Kumbaya on, and we'll come in and get shit-faced.
Listen, if there's any way I could ever convince my wife to let me take the car again and drive out west, I would. All right. I got to go. I got to mark some papers.
That's yeah, have fun.
Yeah. Thanks a lot. Cheers.
See you.
We're out. Say hi to Mikey for me.
I will do that.
Swear to God, couldn't see my face. I got out of bed today, just staring at a ghost who forgot to float away. Didn't have all that much to say. Wouldn't even tell me his own name. And where'd my body go? Where'd my body go? Africa, Mexico. Where'd my body go? And where'd my body go? Surgery, take those knives away from me. Just wanna die in my own body. A ghost just needs a home.
Na na na.